can put it on the board. Yes!
The extra point is good!
Yes, sir!
Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal here with his good pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder. Happy post-Thanksgiving. God, when did we talk? Like Wednesday? I feel like we had 6 weeks worth of sports happen and not happen while we were gone. But Dave, how was Thanksgiving? Charlotte, how was Thanksgiving? You can both answer at once.
One, two, three. What? Dave, you're supposed to start
You
talking.
Go, Charlotte, please. You go,
no,
Charlotte.
No, Sal said your name first.
That's true. Mine was grand. We had a wonderful turkey bowl. I think last we spoke, we were on the eve of week 12 in the NFL season, and here we are, and week 12 is still ongoing. Mm. I mean, we're still at least 36 hours from the completion of week 12, and I suspect we're more like about a month and or maybe 5 weeks away from the completion, because I think they're going to end up adding a week 18 to get all these games.
I do want to talk about that, of course. But first, I'd like to hear about Charlotte's cheese consumption on Thursday.
Oh, truly remarkable. I took down an entire wedge of cheese by myself in 2 days, which I realized, you know, you sort of open the fridge and you're like, wow, I guess this cheese is gone now, or like you get the last piece and you're like, oh, good thing that multiple people ate it. And I was like, I'm the only person who touched this piece. So I did great. Also, I made my niece, who's 3.5, she and I tried to make hand turkeys, you know, where you trace your hand and you turn into a turkey. I forgot how. And I've never been roasted harder than when this 3-year-old looked at me and she goes, these turkeys are weird. And I was
really?
Like, that's fair. They are. So then we just put sunglasses on them and it made them funny weird.
Do you have weird hands or something? Why would they be? Let me see.
No, my hands are fine. My hands are normal. Yeah. But I forgot that you trace your hand and then the thumb becomes the beak. So I just threw the beak in the middle of my palm. And she was like,
oh, no.
Yeah, she's
like,
that's not a turkey.
Oh, come on. She's right. Yeah, I was there with you. I noticed that. Well, not I know, you know. I just eat like a freaking slob and I'm not going to fit in this Zoom box soon enough. But it's not even the Thanksgiving meal. I said to my mother and wife, God bless them, they did all the cooking. We had a smaller gathering this year. It was only like 8 of us, usually like 25. But I said, listen, there's only 8 of us. Don't go crazy with the food. I get it. Everybody likes leftovers, but just please don't go crazy. They took my advice, but the appetizers, which I think you're speaking of there, Charlotte, I just went to town. I was, by the time dinner rolled around, just all the breeze and all the coconut shrimp. And I don't know what they got from Trader Joe's or whatever. And I'm like, God, I'm a freaking glutton. I need to go to prison. Enough of this already. Right?
I'm with you. And that's always what gets you. You know, it's funny because the thing that gets all the attention is the meal. And by the way, I know we talked about it last week, but I just have to revisit it quickly. This jive perpetuated by hipsters or whatever that let's have chicken instead this year and all that kind of stuff. Like, eat what you want. But on the other hand, turkey is delicious. And let me just say, I'm not under some spell or anything. I delighted in my initial turkey or my initial Thanksgiving dinner. And then I delighted in it on Friday. And then I delighted in it on Saturday. And then I delighted in it on Sunday. And it was all delicious. And I had no issue at any point. Never did I think, why am I eating this? I thought it was delicious every single time. And we also snuck in a delicious turkey bowl before we sat down to eat. Do you guys play a turkey bowl? Do you and the boys get together and do one, Sal?
I used to back when I can move around. Yeah, we should head down to the beach and do that more. But yeah, I don't know. So you missed a game? What did you miss? You missed that terrible Lions-Texans game to throw the ball around?
Yeah, we went out for about an hour and a half at the park around the corner, and we had a marvelous. It was a shootout too. Mm-hmm. Jean-Claude Van Damashek and his little sister. It's the young kids versus the older kids.
Right.
I got two sets. You know, one older. You know, anyway, and So we, so he opened up a big lead early on, but then a big rally and then triple overtime. It was an exciting game. And, the big winner was me, cause I got to be the all time QB and it was a magnificent time out there. And then we went and stuffed our faces. Like you said, yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I could do that with the boys and risk pulling a hamstring or watch my ten thousands of dollars go down the drain with Matthew Stafford, blowing the Lions game, but
good call, Charlotte.
Well, yeah, that was nice. Charlotte was our winner. Was she the only winner on our parlay?
Yeah,
she was, right? Because Dave went with my miserable Cowboys, and I took the terrible Detroit Lions. So we were out of it. Yeah. Oh, Charlotte had the over in that game,
yes,
which was looking good all the way through.
I think from now on, that's what I'm going to do. Just overs.
Good.
And I don't believe in betting the under. So I'm going to pick the game that I feel good about the over and I'm going to take it because I don't like losing and it felt better to win, even though we didn't win, you know, coming through.
Points,
on my...
points, points. Right. We're extra points. You're rooting for extra points.
All
good.
The
you're,
points.
You're doing a good job.
Sal
there.
Told me that Charlotte, I think I told you that before the season, just before it kicked off there. That's one of Sal's things he told me 20 years ago that I've always remembered where gambling's concerned. If you want something to put a little something on any game, just bet the over. It's fun
because
you're involved in it pretty much the whole game. You're just sitting there rooting for a lot of points.
Unless it's a soccer game, because you'll rip whatever's left of your hair out if you're betting the over 1.5 goals or whatever it is. But yes, I do like betting the over. But Dave, and I'm not blaming you because I lost our parlay before it even got to you. Can we please, please be done with the Dallas Cowboys? Enough of this talk. I get it. There's still a game out or something, but that freaking team and that play on 4th and 10, the fake punt, and I have to think about that all weekend long. The guy takes the reverse. Wilson takes it. He actually has to run 24 yards by the time he's actually handed the ball to get the first down. So even if you catch the defense off guard, which they didn't, it was not going to happen. Mike McCarthy got, I don't know what to do with this season. Enough. We got beat up anyway by Washington, but ironically,
yes,
we each picked a team. None of us picked Washington to win the division a couple weeks ago.
It is crazy and funny that that's the way it's going to play out, and sad too. But yeah, it's funny too when some great post game coach remarks. Mike McCarthy, now consumed by Adam Gase, is, I was calling plays, but I wasn't calling the plays, but maybe I did call some plays. And either way, we couldn't score any points. That was great. But Mike McCarthy saying, like, nope, I thought that was a good call to go with the fake punt.
Oh,
after
man.
We saw how it went. We saw what happened, Coach McCarthy. Well, we're
right.
You cannot dupe us now that we've seen the evidence. But yes, that was
Did
embarrassing.
That haunt you, Sal?
And you have my solemn promise. I'm done talking about the
Good.
Cowboys winning that.
Good,
division.
We can move on. I like moving on. What did you, Charlotte? What did you say?
I just said, did that haunt you? Like, did that, was this the last gasp of your Cowboys hope for the season? Just like you, because you hoped a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. They sucked me back in. I didn't want it, but I bought into all the jive and it ended up being jive. That's what it was, Dave, that, you know, this offense, Zeke was going to run for 100 yards every time. He wasn't going to fumble. It wasn't going to look like he didn't care. The offense was going to get their act together. Defense was going to play tight. I didn't see any of that on Sunday. And then they had the Thursday and they had the crazy play call in there. Now, I know they had a coach that very sad passed away. So the edict was, hey, no making fun of coaches or no pointing at coaches. I'm like, all right, I don't really know what that has to do with going for it on 4th and 10 with 13 minutes left, down 4 at your own 20. But anyway, I could be done with the Cowboys. Let's move on from them. Lots of football talk and lots of non-football talk, what we're going to get to. Dave, your Pitt-Baltimore game, which was supposed to play on Thanksgiving night, is now moved to Tuesday. The FanDuel has the odds at 10.5. The Steelers are favored. 40.5 is the over-under. I know you have a lot to say about this. When the line came out last week, the Steelers were a 3-point favorite, which was suspicious. Now we know there's no Lamar Jackson. And who the hell else knows? Well, I don't know what. RG3 starts. They have about 20 guys out. They're not even in Pittsburgh. What goes on here? What could the league do? Should they just scrap this game?
Well, I feel like it's important to note that it's, as we have this conversation, it's roughly 11:30 in the morning, East Coast time. on Monday. And by the time we finish, I fully expect that Jim or Joel, the producers, are going to jump in and say, oh, well, the league has made an announcement and they're pushing this game to week 18. We'll wait and see on that one. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, on a human level, what I mean, I believe me, as I keep saying to everybody who pushes back at me about this, I guarantee you, anyone within the sound of my voice, I like football at least as much as you do. I want them to play games. I like watching them play games. But on a human level, what are you? You're bringing a plane or bus full of guys who have been testing positive last week into Pittsburgh, and they're talking about like, we don't know where. Like, at what point, legitimately, did the city officials just step in and say like, no, you can't come in here. What are you talking about? Because you're in the NFL, you're not immune to society's laws. You can't just bring this, but. I don't know.
Stow away in Primanti's in the back room. Let's just spread them out a little bit.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. No, go eat crab cakes. I don't bring that jazz into Allegheny County. It's bad enough. I really am of the mind. Like we either go like for 30 minutes about protocols and all that jive, or we could talk about football as it stands right now. I vote. My vote, one third vote, is I skew. Let's talk football and deal with the COVID issues another time, because none of us are going to figure it out. But I mean, I think it does wind up that I'm going to go against that now and say this. I suspect that this winds up with a week 18 that the Ravens end up making the playoffs because of this mess. Ironically, I don't know exactly what the answer is, but I do think that the league resolves to, let's just play that extra week 18 and an extra playoff team because it equals more money for the league. And I think that's where this thing falls, cynical though it sounds.
If Mo Damashek calls you, your mom, and says, hey, some of the Ravens are offering me, $10,000 just for the night to stay over. Your childhood room remains pristine. Can I house a couple of them here? What would you say? Dave, she's like, I don't know anything about this. I'm not following this. What would you say?
Yeah. No, Mo Damashek is loyal enough to know that she wouldn't let any of the bald birdie stay at the crib. But Joe Flacco, he's not there anymore, but he spent time in Pitt. I'm trying to think of players or coaches or otherwise who have some ties to Pittsburgh, because that's the best answer at this point. Just go crash at their house. Go all the 53-man roster, whatever left now that can make the trip. Go crash in the basement over down there and go stay in Blawnox or Swickley or somewhere like that before the ball game, and then head over to Heinz Field for the game, a kickoff on whenever. I mean, it's gotten to a ludicrous degree before this game ever happens because of what happened in Denver yesterday. I thought that was outrageous. Not to get up on Mount Pius, Charlotte, but that was outrageous.
No. Yeah. So we saw a game yesterday in Denver, New Orleans, and from a gambler's perspective, New Orleans opened as a 5.5 point favorite. That went to 17 when we found out that all of Denver's quarterbacks were congregating, or we saw a picture or some footage of them together. Not supposed to be the case. You're supposed to Air Force One this thing. President doesn't fly with the vice president. Quarterbacks don't hang out with other quarterbacks for this reason, okay? And as a result, Denver is down to zero quarterbacks. They have to pick up a practice squatter, a guy who kind of played quarterback at Wake Forest. He had 8 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in his career, but is a wide receiver and completed one pass and threw 2 interceptions yesterday. I didn't even know what I was watching yesterday, but the league definitely tried to make an example of the Broncos, and they sure did. Broncos lost 31-3.
Yeah, Kendall Hinton, I've seen a lot of people say this, but it did put into perspective how hard it is to be a NFL quarterback, where it's like, this guy did score 8 touchdowns at a D1 school, and yet he can't, he can't throw the ball. He completed one pass. They didn't let him throw the ball because they knew he couldn't, because it's so hard to do it. So it made me feel a little shitty for, being mean about like Sam Darnold. But at the same time, that it is your job. But I don't know. I think it's strange to me, the whole idea of setting an example right now, because as COVID gets so bad, I've said this before on this podcast, but yeah, it could be being negligent, but also like if you're playing in the first place and you know, these guys were hanging out. Who's to say it was because they mm-hmm. partied? It could be because like someone's kids, you know, needed to go to school, and there's so many different ways right. you can get it at this point that like making an example, I'm like, is that the point? Like, do we need to be doing this? I also have a hot take that they should have put John Elway in, because the Broncos yeah. said that they couldn't play with their assistant coach at quarterback, but it would be much harder to say no to an owner. So
I would have loved that. It would have been incredible, right?
Like, yeah. and maybe the Saints would have been like, maybe we agree not to sack him too hard. Like, I don't know.
Then you see like backup quarterbacks jumping in the GM role from here forward.
Totally.
You know, just like, hey, okay.
Colt McCoy takes over for the Giants.
Exactly. Well, yeah,
I said that too. Yeah. Shouldn't the New Orleans Saints as an organization had enough dignity to say, like, and the referees too. And it's kind of like when you play pickup basketball, it's kind of like the rules are more suggestions. It's like, he meant that to be a three. His toe was on the line, but just give him the three. Shouldn't it have been that way against this poor guy thrown to the wolves? Shouldn't it have been like, close enough to the first down. Just give it to him. Just let him have it. And that the Saints would make a play. They would knock the ball down on an attempted pass, and right. they would celebrate. Like, yeah, he's a guy off the street, man. Yeah. You shouldn't get to celebrate that.
Well, apparently they all hugged him in the dressing room, and I don't know what the equivalent of the game ball was, but the Denver coach, yeah,
he got a golden mask.
Is that what it was? A golden mask? But they all praised him after the game. And he was probably just like, all right, everyone just get away from me.
I'm not trying to
I don't want to do this again. I do like Charlotte that he failed, but it does show how hard football is, right?
Yeah.
So if he would have won, there's no movie ending where he throws for four touchdowns and beats the one seed Saints in the NFC, right?
So I just want one touchdown, but that was greedy.
Yeah, or two completions, or right. one thing. I don't know. Right. I'll put a pin in this for a second. Like, Dave, I know, like, if and when this Ravens-Steelers game gets played, that's 12 weeks in the books for the NFL where they didn't have to cancel a game. And I know they're thinking, well, you could take your asterisk and shove it up your ass because we got 12 weeks in the book. But right. to me, the asterisk comes into play when Denver has to start a quarterback that no one's ever heard of before in their life, you know? And I mean, no one's ever heard of. They had to pick him up off the, and I wonder how much more of that. I'm sure December is going to be a lot of that. But let's talk Chiefs-Bucks.
It's just a canard, but it does feel like a league-perpetuated canard that it's like, well, hey, they don't play, the players don't get paid. So the players, if you forfeit a game, then the players don't get paid. Like, my response to that is, well, pay them anyway,
yeah,
and then
right.
forfeit
right.
the game. That's the answer. How about that?
It's like you make the rules, like, change them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what are we going to do? We got to go out there and play. The league isn't incented to forfeit games because then they lose the revenue. That's
sure.
why they're going to jam these games in no matter what. The thing I'd love to hear from you about, Sal, is why didn't America, why didn't Football America all just pound the Saints at -17 in hindsight? And at minimum, shouldn't we all now jump on the Pittsburgh Steelers if that line stays anything close to -10? I get it's not as bad because they'll have RG3 presumably under center, but that's a pretty decimated roster going into Pittsburgh. Shouldn't we all bang on the Steelers here?
I am on the Steelers. Like I said, they were only a 3-point favorite when it opened last two Mondays ago, whatever it is now. And I was like, oh, that's fishy. And the Ravens, and this is still a rivalry. And you know, that was when Lamar was still in the talk. And I was like, maybe we take Baltimore here, or at least on a teaser. I'm with you now. The Steelers can't blow that game. But I've also been on the college side on the other end of it, where like 20 players have been out for Maryland or whatever. I'm making the school up because I could assign mm-hmm. any school to it at this point, and they end up winning the game. So I'm a little leery. Why that you couldn't jump on 17? You know, it's a weird one. Denver was their team over under was 10.5 points. Would you have gone over or under Denver to score 10.5 points yesterday? This is an
under.
NFL game. You would go under.
But
so that was another
way to
go.
Quarterback situation?
It's just 10.5 is two drives. Your defense could score. It's just very...
Right.
I mean, we're never going to see... I'm not going to say we're never going to see it because we're probably going to see it next week. The over-under was like 35.5. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they thought, Dave, that New Orleans would take that. Oh, we'll show pity on you. We'll play 10 on 11. And that's why we won't cover the 17. But it was clear almost immediately that they were going to blow them out.
I don't think, I feel like NFL teams still, even in these bizarre circumstances, these guys are so competitive that, and their contracts are so dependent on bonuses and their stats that they're like, ooh, it's not like, we'll take it easy on you. It's like, here's a great opportunity to pad my stats a little bit.
Yeah, maybe, for sure. Speaking of padding stats, let's get to Chiefs Bucks. And right now, the front runner for MVP, Patrick Mahomes, is doing just that, padding his stats. What is he up to? Is he up to 30-2 interceptions and 3,500?
Signature performance, one way or the other, signature performance of the season from Mahomes, right? Against Tampa.
And it seems like they're toying with him too. Like, also remember, they kicked a field goal, a 19-yard field goal, which they never do. It was a weird performance because they had 17 in the first quarter and ended up with 27. It just felt like they could score every possession against Tampa, and we'll get to him in a second. But Dave, this has got to annoy you a little bit. You're rooting for a team that's undefeated, and all the talk is about Mahomes for MVP. No one's beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs, etc. As a Steelers fan, do you kind of agree, though? Because I get it, single elimination. It does seem like this team is untouchable when they want to play.
As a vain person, of course, everything filters through how it impacts my thing and then goes back out to the world. And so I like it. I never want my team to be the team that's supposed to win. The team that's supposed to win now is the Chiefs, no matter what the Steelers' record is, unblemished. The thing that's weird to me, I mean, yeah, the Chiefs are, but I've said that since August, obviously. The Chiefs are the team to beat. You know, the Steelers are positioned as perhaps the best team to challenge them, at least on the AFC side of things, practically because of the pass rush. What you saw as the Bucs started to rally there is, as you always hear now, it's become the public now is on board with the notion that if you can get to even a high-end quarterback like Mahomes or Brady with just your defensive front, mm-hmm. and then drop everybody else, that at least gives you a puncher's chance. We saw that with the Niners in the Super Bowl. They just about had the Chiefs beaten with that formula. The Steelers are constructed with that pass rush. They can get the Mahomes. There's no doubt about that. Can they turn them over once or three times over the course of 60 minutes on the back end and then score enough points? I think yes. I think the Steelers can. I think they would have a shot at beating the Chiefs. But sure. I still think the Chiefs are the team to beat. There's no question about that. The thing that's weird is it's achieved this weird place with a lot of the numbers-based people like PFF and everything else have now veered into this weird place of that the Steelers are overrated. Using the word overrated, like overrated. How can you overrate an undefeated team? They're undefeated. That's what they are. Like, how can they be overrated if that's what they are? So...
Vegas and FanDuel standards, they're covering every game too, right? So they're not overrated in that, okay, they're supposed to win this game they're only winning by this month. Like, no, they're beating the snot out of everybody. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm as loud as everyone else with, the Chiefs are the team to beat. If Mahomes is healthy, forget it. The season is over. But then I think, all right, if they're in Three Rivers or Heinz Field, whatever the hell it's called, and maybe at best, your best Chiefs team is going to be a 3-point favorite if everybody's healthy. Am I putting $100,000 on that? No way. That's a toss-up game. Or the Chiefs are barely favored.
Yes, of course they're awesome. Yeah. It's a spectacle to see Tyreek Hill embarrassing high-end professional athletes week after week, and Travis Kelce and so on. But then again, Tampa was a play away, a drive away from, that was a 3-point game. The Raiders beat them. The Niners had them beat. This is a mighty, mighty Chiefs brand going right now. This window, and as somebody pointed out, as we all point out periodically, is, D-Ford doesn't line up offside. What was that? Less than 2 years ago at this point?
Yeah.
Doesn't line up offsides. The Chiefs probably have two Lombardi trophies at this point.
Right.
So this is, we're looking at an era of individual dominance from Mahomes on down there. So yeah, but they're not going to go undefeated. This isn't Oklahoma in 1985. It's the NFL. So you could,
of course,
it's not implausible that the Steelers could beat them one out of four games.
Charlotte, the flip side of this is Tom Brady had to come back. I was looking like he was maybe coming back. Do the Tampa losses, do they excite you more as the year goes on? They're 7-5. They have their bye week now. But all of a sudden, a little bit, man, if any of the NFC teams were decent, they'd have a struggle making the playoffs. But right now, as it is, they just have to fend off like the Vikings to get the 7th seed or whatever. What are you thinking about Tampa? Where are your rooting interests now with Tampa?
I mean, I don't know if excited is the right word. I think relieved is the right word a little bit, honestly, because I think what it shows is that, you know, Tom is still, he is the GOAT. He's a great player. He's still a great player. But even when he can design a team for himself, he's not playing like he used to. He's not the kind of dominance that he used to be. And I just care a lot about the narrative of the Patriots of the past 20 years being like, this was a team effort. This was a dynasty in the truest sense of the word. It was Brady and Belichick. It was everybody they had around them. I really would have been bummed if Tom Brady had, you know, gone to Tampa and been undefeated. And it was just like, sure. Oh, okay. You know, I like that it's sort of keeping that story a little bit more level-headed because I do think that's the truth. And I don't know why I care so much, but I think as it, you know, I started my career basically because of those teams. And so I think that there's something that feels very personal to me about like, well, it can't have just been one guy. Like it had to have been this coming together magically that worked. So I think that's where I am on it.
But specifically, a week like week 12 is going to be probably few and far between where the Patriots win and Tampa loses,
oh,
right?
For sure. So
you have to rejoice. You have to like the outcome.
It was wow. I was so focused on. I didn't even like really put that together.
Yeah, isn't it
I want to know this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you Charlotte? Just in the gut. Though this isn't an intellectual thing. Just how did it make you feel when the camera cut away to sad Tom on the sideline, frustrated Tom? On the sideline in the late stages of the game. What was your emotion? No jive, please. Don't try to be classy.
I'm not supposed to say it, but I was happy.
why are you just supposed to say it?
Because Pats fans have adopted this like really defiant, it's the New England stubbornness, where if someone says that you should do something or should feel a certain way, you're going to be stoic and do the opposite thing just to spite them,
right?
And which is that everyone's like, oh well, now Tom Brady's gone, New England's like, we're gonna be so classy that you're gonna like take our class and shove it up your ass, you know? It's like they're trying to be so classy that it comes full circle and like isn't even that I mean, and maybe some people genuinely do believe it, but I personally do not love rooting for a mediocre team while the guy who I loved for 20 years does well somewhere else. Like I'm not a big enough person to love that.
And why is everybody, I love the Patriots voices, the public voices or otherwise, who declare for all of Patriots Nation. No. You, the rest of football wants us to feel this way, but we don't. Like, well, Charlotte Wilder is putting her neck out there and saying opposite of what a lot of these people who have anointed themselves the mouthpieces of all Patriots fans. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Yes. I mean, I do think some people probably genuinely do feel that way, but I think it's also like the whole underdog mentality that Pats fans pretended to have for the past 20 years, where there was somehow always a reason to doubt us or always something that we were up against as a fan base. And it's like, that's not true. Like we were going to win those six Super Bowls.
Right.
Also, I think that this is like another level of like, oh, you're doubting us Pats fans. We're going to love Tom Brady more than you love your mother. And it's like, Jesus Christ, can we all just like,
well, there's no dignity in those. They cut away to it on Sunday Night Football. Brett Favre went back to Lambeau and Bart Starr and Aaron Rodgers embraced him and everybody cheered. Like, no, not Damashek.
No.
That's me. Boo! You went and played for the Vikings.
See, this is where,
you stink.
This is where I disagree. I wouldn't boo Tom Brady if he came back to Foxborough. I would also cheer for. I think two things can be true. I can like Tom Brady for what he's done for us, and I cannot be like, you know, an asshole about it. But I can also be thrilled when we win and he doesn't.
Well, I think you're in the minority there. I think I heard you say something about classy Patriots fans, and my head almost spun off.
But that's what I mean. Like, they're trying.
No, they're not trying. You're trying. They're not trying. They're not. You're not part of a classy bunch. And it's fine. And you're not supposed to class it up when you have a quarterback that went 9 of 18 for 84 yards with two interceptions. You still won the game. You beat Arizona.
We won that game.
But then you can't root for Tom. It's hard to root for, like, oh, I want him to throw for 400 yards.
Right.
My guy can't even reach 100.
Right. We won that.
You were in there.
I did play. The Pats won that game despite Cam Newton, and it really sucks because I wanted Cam to succeed so badly. Like, that's all I wanted. And I mean, I don't know what happened. Did he just forget how to throw the ball? Does he have the yips? Like, what's going on? Because he wasn't this bad.
They are being very careful with him. First of all, two NFL teams won with a quarterback that threw for under 100 yards. Cam being one, Taysom Hill being the other. But, I don't know how they're getting it done. I'm like, okay, that Harris runs the ball well. He was only 14 for 47. I'm looking at the stats. I just think with Arizona, and Dave, you had him, you know, Kyler Murray was a long shot, good value MVP call, gone. He's out of it now. He rushes for 30 yards. It's not going to happen. I'm not saying he should throw a Hail Mary to Nuke Hopkins every week, but he's got to figure into the offense more than 40, 50 yards. They're all of a sudden in trouble. Patriots just kind of beat them up and were there at the end. I had a few little help at the end with the calls. And now one.
Yeah, bad call. Yeah. Obviously, a bad call helped them and kept it from at minimum going to overtime. But I think something's wrong with Kyler Murray, right? They're hiding him ever so slightly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the play at the goal line, and there was some debate about was that the right decision last play of the first half. They have it at the goal line, 4th and inches, and they went for it, and they line up in the gun, which I hate as an old curmudgeon, that you give up those 3 yards to drop the QB, but I understand that it allows him to face the defense. But that then you snap the ball to number one, who turns around and runs it up the middle to Kenyon Drake, seems uninspired. Yeah. Typically, I would think that the Cardinals would run at the edge with Kyler Murray with maybe a back dragging behind him or a tight end at the back of the end zone. Instead, they go unimaginative. That, to me, said something is wrong with Kyler Murray. They're just not running him around as much anymore. But I do want to go back, if we could, Sal. I want to hear about you talking about your old pal, Tony Romo, because... First of all, I mean, we could get into the handshake stuff, which I think is kind of silly, maybe. I've come around on it. Tom Brady's a competitor. Good. He doesn't want to shake hands. I like that, as we've talked about. Let's get some more WWE. No, we deluded fans do not need to see that you guys are friends with each other. We want you to hate each other, players, on the opposite sides. But Tony Romo...
I turn it off after the game. I don't want to see the jerseys. I
don't want to see any of that.
I move
job.
My eyes
right.
away from it. I got to pretend.
Are you guys too really?
People care. Yeah, I don't like to look at it.
Don't do that. Don't.
Right.
Oh my God, that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
You're too close to it, Charlotte. This thing is I've been around these guys and they like each other and they went to college together. They came up together in Florida or Texas or wherever. It's like, no, okay, great. I don't need to see any of that.
It's adorable.
No, it's not.
Adorable. Fah. We're not here for adorable. We're here to root and that's
maybe
why we
that's
go
why
to see movies.
Sports fans are so miserable.
We Probably. Go to see movies, but it's the same thing with movies. Would you like to see Darth Vader and Han Solo like at the as the credits roll over it? Like you were scary.
Yes, I would love that. That would make me very happy.
But Sal,
Charlotte, let me and Dave leave cookies for Santa, and don't roll our eyes at us. So let
Thank
us believe.
You.
Let us believe.
Okay,
the
same
the
thing.
Magic,
okay.
Right? Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
In this, I want grievance, I want conflict and everything else. And Tony Romo's not getting, for no matter what else is happening, Romo is always pro QB, and that's great. And that's and he's fat. The thing he does that's best that doesn't get enough credit is how he clock manages in the moment. Like
right.
He knows exactly. He's like, they need this. Like what he said with like 3:45 left in the Tampa game. He's like, if they don't, they better stop them here on second down, because if they don't, the clock's going to run out. And it was like, he knows exactly the math of like, if they allow this, here's how much. And he like gets it to the second. He's like, there's only going to be 39 seconds left when they get the ball back. But it's like, how'd you do that math? There's 3:45 on the clock. But anyway, he's great at all that stuff. But man, he cannot criticize Tom Brady for
People
were
getting on
right?
him for this. Yeah. I don't know.
It's weird, isn't it? And then he declared, and he's probably right. He said, Tampa, as this thing is going sideways for Tampa, in the middle of it, he said, the Buccaneers have figured something out over the course of this game,
that's what
and
he
I
said.
Think they're going to the Super Bowl now. It's like, what made you think that? And he's probably right. But
well,
it was
I know.
Weird
I,
that
he was
so...
blaming the routes, and he was blaming some other stuff on why Brady was failing miserably early on. But I don't know what it is. I know he's a huge fan of Tom Brady, and why wouldn't he be? It's like, this is the gold standard for quarterbacks. To your point about Romo, and I know what the next, I know what your further point is. Why couldn't Romo do it for the Cowboys if he could figure out every single play on the field? Maybe these guys are woozy half the time. Maybe you can't figure out, you get up from a play and you can't, but I'm not, I know we can laugh, but it's like, maybe you're not playing with 100% of your mind that you are in the booth right next to Jim Nance, you know? Whereas you get up from a sack and you're like, you can't do that math of, okay, if I snap it here or if I do this or, you know, what's going on.
I also think there's a big difference between being able to see everything from that angle.
Where you're looking at, sure.
And you, like your job, his job, Tony's job now is to be able to say those things. His job then is to be able to do those things. I think it's a lot harder sometimes to execute than it is to say what someone should do.
Well, for instance, look at us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
We're
God.
Talking about what all these teams should do. But if they put us on the field, would be
here's
a different
what
story,
I think. What I think is I wasn't really insinuating that about your guy, Romo.
I just know that people do. Yeah.
I really do think that on one hand, these QBs, these the super successful, the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, whatever, level QBs, Tony Romo counts in that too, they're geniuses. And I don't mean that they can cite for you the influence of the Whig Party on 19th century body politics stuff. I mean that they can process things at hyper speed. They're
right.
And it's kind of like off my recent experience as all-time QB in the Turkey Bowl with my little ones. I feel like when, you know, it's kind of like I'll tell Hoover Damashek, like run, I'll show him very clearly run this and then out. And then like, he does whatever he wants and he runs over by the grills in the park and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Right. It's like, what's happening there? I feel like the QBs are super tuned in to all that kind of stuff and they can process it at such a high rate that they get let down by everybody else out on the field because nobody is on par with the ability to do that. But I don't know what my point is, but I guess that's what
no,
I
he's just speaking
Romo
out loud.
Side with Brady. Right. He's frustrated with everybody else, but it's like, yeah, but you're functioning at a different level than everybody else, including the rest of the players on the field largely.
And so it's either ego or it's like we're missing something, right? So even Aaron Rodgers, he throws what seems to be a really poor pass at a route that's pretty crisp. And they cut back to him and it's incomplete. And he's like rolling his eyes like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, you were supposed to do. Right.
Seems like that's on you. But you're right. I think there's more to it than we're seeing. Rodgers beat up on the Bears 41-25. They're looking good. I'm not letting go of that. I think they're a top two team in the NFC. I think push came to shove. They beat the Saints no matter where that game is played. What do we want to talk about? The Jets? Dave, you talk about a team we should just like pound. Like, Dolphins were favored by 5 or 6. Jets lose 20-3. They're listless. They show some life. It's the same game every time. They'll kick a field goal. They'll be up 3-0. It's like, maybe this is Sam Darnold's thing or Joe Flacco's thing. No, they just fall completely apart. I guess they covered against the Chargers last week, but my God, I'd
have
be very surprised.
Completely
if they
given
have the
up. Like, do we,
pick.
Is that what's going on? They just, it's done.
You know what? You got a coach that I don't like to say that like teams are tanking in football. I'll say it in basketball because it's easier, but for God's sakes, no one likes this Adam Gase. And we saw what happened with Matt Patricia. I couldn't believe the outpour of hatred and disdain for Matt Patricia on Twitter from former players. It's all, it ranged from good riddance to, I guess it wasn't my fault after all. I'm like, oh my God.
I've heard
really hated
like,
this guy.
Real bad stuff about Matt Patricia.
Tell us, come on, tell us.
Basically that, like players just hated playing for him, and he can't win over a locker room, and he wasn't good enough at what he did to have that be okay. So, I mean,
right.
Also, Lions fans have wanted him to be fired almost as long as he's been the coach. So,
yeah, no, I mean, it's a miserable situation with the Lions and their fans. But I don't know. I'd be right. I mean, the Jets, could they go 0-16 now? I'm looking at their schedule. They have a couple. Let's see. So 16-0 is fun. 0-16 is probably more fun, mm-hmm. right? Raiders at Jets. You got to think the Raiders would bounce back. I mean, there could be weather in these games. Who the hell knows? But if the Raiders lose, they're fighting for a playoff spot. The Jets fighting for the number one pick. You got to think the Raiders win that. The Seahawks will be in no shape to tank that game against the Jets, right? It's in Seattle. I don't see how that. And then the Jets go to the Rams. Same kind of thing. These NFC West teams have to keep winning at a chance to take the division or get a wild card. Browns at Jets. And then Jets at Patriots. Boy, that would put a button on your season,
oh my God.
Charlotte. If you don't make the playoffs and lose to the Jets, and the Jets at that point, January 3rd, could have still have the number one pick locked up. And they're like, all right, let's just try to win. Oh, man, you better hope they get a win sometime before then, Charlotte. That really could be it.
I mean, we almost lost to the Jets once.
Yeah.
It felt terrible. So I can't say that I would be surprised. Like that, at this rate, that is what's going to happen, you know. But I also think every Patriots win, no matter how much they scrape by, I do get a little more hopeful. And I don't know at this point whether it would be better to just, you know, call it now and have them lose so that they can definitely be out and I don't have to hope, or if this like half believing maybe they can do it is worth the pain.
That's where I was last week. Yeah. With the Cowboys.
If you're Anthony, not that you dislike the human being Tom Brady or anything else, but if you are pro Patriots, anti Tampa in 2020, then you want the Patriots to make the playoffs here. It'll be a nice little feel good story. It's a different position than you're used to being in as the team that's supposed to go to the Super Bowl in January, but still it'd be a good one. I think that the dominoes are starting to fall pretty clearly now with Quinn, and I think he's the first domino to fall among the GM ranks there. But I think you're going to now see coaches and GMs start to get knocked off. I don't think it's a coincidence that now we're seeing a bunch of guys get laid off, and the not rooting for that. I think it's a little gross to, you know, generally speaking, root for people to get fired, obviously, because I'm a classy soul.
Oh yeah.
But I think the team that is now in the most disrepair is the Jaguars. And it reminds you now as they blow out their GM and Caldwell. And I don't know if Doug Marrone survives this, but it is a reminder. The one place you don't want to be in is overcommitted to a middle class QB.
Right.
And it should also be a red flag to the Niners and to the Rams. And I still am going to say the Titans, and Titans fans get very upset with me about saying this. You've overpaid to retain a middle-class QB on the assumption that, well, look at what we've done with that guy and look at the Jags as your red flag. They're the red herring or whatever it's called. The 2017 Jags, almost, if they had called that fumble right of Miles Jack in Foxborough, he scooped it up. That would have been the game. They would have gone to the Super Bowl.
You love Chris this Long, play. You love this.
I know I
you
do. Well, Maurice Jones-Drew and Chris Long and I have debated that who would have won that Super Bowl, Eagles or Jags. That's a fun conversation. Either way, I get that you kind of, if you're the Jags, like, we just got to hold. Look at what just happened. We got to run it back now. You don't got to run it back because you are limited. Everything's got to break just right to get through. And the Niners need an upgraded QB. And we saw it again with the Rams. That's their limitation. Everything, you know, Sean McVay is in fact the real deal. He's a boy genius, but he is limited by the overcommitment to Jared Goff, who is only so good. He's good, doesn't kill you.
And
is
you
he
could
winning
throw
you
Cousins
games?
In
no,
there
he
too.
Is not. That's not good
Kirk
enough
Cousins,
in the NFL.
And
that's
the problem is all these guys got big contracts. What the hell? It's hard to unload.
I'm saying you don't. You got to reduce. You got to resist. Like, okay, we're gonna run it back with Blake Bortles because we almost went to the Super Bowl with him, so we got to run it back with him now. No, you don't. You got to resist that.
Right.
The one thing I do wonder, though, in terms of the MVP discussion and mentioning Tannehill, like, to me, the fact that the Titans are doing as well as they're doing, they're, you know, top of the AFC South with someone who, I mean, Tannehill's had some great throws. He hasn't been playing badly. But Derrick Henry, the Titans lead the league in touchdowns, and the Chiefs have 7 more passing touchdowns than they have at number 3. So it's just like, I think that there needs to be a lot more noise for someone like Henry, who is really carrying this team in a substantial way. And yes, Pat Mahomes is unbelievable, but he also has all the pieces he needs. And Derrick Henry is just like doing this by himself a lot of the time. And
I'm with Charlotte on that. That is absolutely right. That if Mahomes is obviously the MVP, this conversation's over, just as it was over in week 4 in Russell Wilson's favor. If Patrick Mahomes goes to the Superdome in a couple of weeks and throws 3 picks and they lose that game, and Derrick Henry carries the Titans, who have no defense, carries them to the playoffs, then Derrick Henry's the MVP, rightly. I don't know if that he would ever get it, but that should be the conversation.
Forget about what he's done for the Titans. How about what he's done for the position? Like, with all the, it was almost a non-discussion whether or not running backs should get long-term contracts. How many times you have to see it with Zeke Elliott or Todd Gurley or Saquon Barkley? Not his fault, but these guys get hurt. Derrick Henry is making you think, there are a few that are worth a 5-year, $700 billion deal right in there. So, yeah, he's kind of saving the position. I was way wrong in that game. I don't know why I like the Colts, the COVID Colts, as it then ended up being 4 guys out on defense. Jonathan Taylor, the center, was out on offense, and the Titans smacked them around. Now, I should have known that. My thing was, well, it's not cold in the dome. They won't have as miserable a time tackling Derrick Henry. It doesn't matter. My God. He just had 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Like, and he would have had 4 if Tannehill hadn't faked him. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw them fighting after the game. It's like, why'd you fake me, man? I wanted 4 touchdowns. No, they're going to be tough, too. Yeah, that's why I guess I can't look. All the division winners are – I'm not going to say they would beat the Chiefs, but all the division leaders would put up a tough fight against them. If the fight is that you just have to play a Raiders-esque game as they did in both their games, the win and the loss against the Chiefs. The Bills, Titans, obviously your Steelers would be a tough out to play in the Chiefs.
Let me just express some soulless cynicism about that. Derrick Henry is the exception proving the rule. Do not pay.
Yeah, right.
Worse than paying a middle-class QB to retain him. The worst thing is, do not pay that. I know it's terrible to say because those people are getting hit repeatedly, but as Zeke Elliott and everybody else proves, do not overpay to keep a running back. That is not a good value.
I've jumped on this too, Dave, and I have a friend who was a former GM in the league, and I'm like, don't pay quarterbacks, don't pay running backs. He's like, who the hell are you going to pay then? What are you thinking? Like, you have to spend this money. Here's the percentage, the current percentage breakdown of what you should afford to each position or position group. Who are you paying if you're not paying quarterbacks or running backs? And I kind of looked at it. It's like, shit, you're taking a chance on like a 40th ranked cornerback who you're going to have to now pay this $15 million.
Disagree.
I think that the market, like, if this is capitalism, the market works that if you don't pay your running back that, somebody else is going to pay your running back that. And then that team might have a Derrick Henry. You can't not pay a running back. Like, that's like saying you want, a Rolex, but you don't want to pay for it. It's like, okay, well, someone else is going to pay for it. Like, this is just how it works. So I don't think that that's a viable. Like, because then you end up
Kamara's in that group too. Yeah, Alvin Kamara. Like, but there's few. I get it. I just don't know. I just think the percentage allocation might change from 2020 from where it was in 2010. That's the only
issue.
Thing I think.
Yeah. The issue is that, I mean, it is the, I mean, it's a, goes without saying, a dangerous sport, but it's especially dangerous for the guy who is featured in those collisions 25 times a game as young high-end athletes Saquon Barkley and CMC prove. They're going to have to sit down for some percentage of games. Almost all of them are. And to be a pretentious fan, I'll push back at your GM friend and say that the answer is you spend it on high-end pass rushers and guys who turn the other team over, like the Honey Badger and Minka Fitzpatrick and guys like that. That's the game now. And you spend it to jazz up the offensive line, because almost no human being, including Patrick Mahomes, does well when they are bludgeoned continually by the pass rush. You got to keep those guys clean. That's what you spend on. You use your draft picks on running backs, get young guys, and rotate them out after their rookie deals expire.
So
I know it's soulless, but it's true. That's the way it
should
be.
The other thing that's true is the goal, obviously, is to have a winning team and to win the division and the conference and the Super Bowl. But the other goal is, I know you don't like this, but jersey sales. And if you take a chance on a Derrick Henry, it's going to pay way, way more dividends than if you take a chance on the North Dakota State lineman, who you're not really going to sell. You know what I mean? Like, value versus value. You have to consider that too. So
no doubt to me that I'm sure Matt Rhule's like, I'm very clever with offensive design, and CMC is what a queen he is in the chess game of football for us. On the other hand, I'm sure he wasn't thinking like, I don't care what it costs to keep him. I bet you he understood, and the organization understood, we can't let this golden boy running back leave our team. We're the Carolina Panthers. We struggle to get attention as it is. We can't let CMC go with that. So they had to pay him. But
right.
I think you're exactly right about that, Sal.
All right, let's move on, because let me tell you what Crown Royal is doing. They're doing some great things, because they recognize that even at home, you still get to enjoy your favorite game day cocktails, but you have to remember to take a water break in between to stay hydrated. Don't be that person that ruins game day for your friends and family. Stay hydrated, stay royal. My Crown Royal athlete of the week is Jake Paul. Now, I know a lot of people hate this guy. He goes on YouTube, he puts these videos out. The name D-bag has been attached to him many, many times. I lost money on him. I bet on Nate Robinson. Jake Paul is a good boxer. He's not bad for a celebrity or whatever, an influencer. He is not a bad boxer. He goes out there, he trains, he looks like he knows what he's doing. There's nothing worse than watching a boxing match between guys who have no idea what they're doing. Skill set wise, I'll understand if someone's subpar, but Jake Paul is not that person. He trains, he does all the right things, and he beat up on poor Nate Robinson. I think he's still laying prone in that ring. I think Tyson and Jones had to fight around him. I don't even think they kicked him out of the ring to do that main event. But Jake Paul, believe it or not, maybe not a popular decision, he is my Crown Royal water break athlete of the week. Charlotte, who are you going with?
I'm going with someone 30,000 times cooler than Jake Paul, who is Sarah Fuller. She became the first woman to play for a Power 5 conference team on Saturday when she kicked off for Vandy at the start of the second half. And it was a designed squib kick. So for every dude on the internet saying she messed up, it's wild that you don't know how football works. Now former coach Derek Mason designed it for her because that's where she's used to striking the ball as a soccer champion. Because yes, Fuller is just a week away from winning the SEC championship after Vandy beat Arkansas. She also whipped the locker room into shape. At halftime, she was like, why aren't you guys cheering? Why aren't you cheering for your teammates on the sidelines? She was like, that's what wins games. And I just like that she called them out for being like lame-o mopey guys who are sick of losing. And it is so cool for young girls to see this growing up, that you can get where you want to go. You can break barriers. You can be a woman on a football field. It's also very important for dudes to see this, that women can belong in places that they don't think women can belong, and really nail it, because she did exactly what she was supposed to do.
And she wasn't supposed to be playing football on Wednesday, right?
she just stepped up. She was like, okay, you need me, I can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good job by you, Sarah Fuller. All right, Dave, looking ahead, Monday night athlete, Seattle, Philadelphia.
The Seahawks are a different team than they were at the start of the season. And unlike most other teams that have been decimated by key injury, they actually are now boosted for this late push in the regular season and beyond, thanks to Jamal Adams' return, Carlos Dunlap's arrival, and Snacks Harrison's arrival. I said that there was a ceiling on the Seahawks team because they played no defense. Now they have some high-end defensive pieces to go with their great linebackers. I think the Seahawks are the class of the NFC, all due respect to the Saints and Packers, who are also emerging as the class of the NFC. The Seahawks will make a deep playoff run, and I'm going to say here and now, a Super Bowl run. They wind up in Tampa thanks to those additions in season. That's the difference between the Seahawks at the kickoff of the season and where we stand right now, and they will show it against the Eagles tonight.
I disagree. I think Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys are the class of the NFC, but yes, you could have your opinion, and I'll have mine. Good Lord. All right, that was a Crown Royal water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit at Crown Royal on Instagram. Let's talk about that game tonight. Seattle at Philadelphia. 6.5 is the spread. Seattle, a road favorite, over under 48.5. I don't know about this game. I would normally think Seattle, Dave, and they're playing defense and they're doing all the right things. They played a complete game against Arizona last Thursday night. Boy, they have like an 11-day rest here. I think it's supposed to be, weather's supposed to be shitty there, right? It's supposed to be cold, supposed to be rainy, I think. We might see a little of Jalen Hurts in there, which I think could boost the Eagles' offense. I think this is a low-scoring 23-20 type game. I think I'm taking the underdog.
I could see it going that way, but Seattle, by the way, after this one, they really could get on a roll here if you look at what they have left on the slate. And this doesn't at this point. It's hard. I mean, how many times is Philly going to let you down before we jump off?
Right.
You're quick to do it with your Cowboys. You're not as quick to do it.
Yeah, I don't know why.
With the Eagles here. I'm with you. I said 2 weeks ago, the Eagles have a chance if they can get a win or two. Like all of a sudden, if they get anything close to healthy, they could be a scary team to play in January. But I mean, you know, I've been disappointed by Carson Wentz and company one time too many here. I'm taking the Seahawks.
All right,
tonight. I'm with you. It could be close, but I mean, it could be low scoring. But the Seahawks will still get over.
I want to go on the record.
Go ahead.
I was saying, we
have a record.
Yeah. Listen.
Okay.
I never believed in the Eagles.
Mm.
There you go. Seahawks are going to win.
What are our teams again? I forgot for the NFC. Dave's stuck with the Cowboys. I'm taking the Eagles. Oh, yeah. Charlotte, you have the Giants. She's looking good, except for Colt McCoy as their quarterback. It's interesting.
I know. Is there any news on Daniel Jones' hamstring? Like, do we know how long he'll be out?
I haven't heard anything. I don't know if Jim or Joel or Michael could pull anything up, but I think the MRI was supposed to be. I don't know why the MRIs aren't immediately after the game. Like, I figure they could test you for anything else, but it was looking like that hamstring was going to keep him out at least a week, but it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I'm going to go under in this game. Chris Carson's back. You get Jalen Hurts running the ball. The weather's bad. You're not going to see the rainbow bombs to Metcalf and Lockett as much. Like I said, 23-20 type final. I don't want to pick a winner. I would go under. Charlotte, you were never for Philly, so you're going with Seattle.
Yeah.
And Dave's defense theory. Yeah.
Yep. Into it. I mean, I just think that Wilson's faltered since he got all that noise about being the MVP, but I do think that he's still against a team like Philly where Carson Wentz is just not the guy. What is it, 14 interceptions this season? And
it's like 17 turnovers, 18 turnovers or something crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just wild. And I don't know that even if you put Jalen Hurts in, I don't know that he's ready enough to make that much of a difference. I've been wrong with my picks before. So
well, but people always say, and it's true, money does tend to play in this league. And so Carson Wentz is... talk about overcommitted to a QB, but like the Jalen Hurts thing, people are very cavalier about, well, just go with him. Why aren't they going with him? Like, because Carson Wentz is making way too much money. It's an embarrassment for him to be there, and I don't know how they're going to get out from under. People are like, trade him to who's taking that contract at this point? No one's taking Carson Wentz for 2021 with what he's owed.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do, but it feels like they kind of have to figure out how to make Carson Wentz work because it's they're just so wildly overcommitted to him in terms of dollars.
Well, Dave, what you did say one thing in that rant that made sense. The other was nonsense. But the one thing you said is that money plays in this league, and it plays tonight because you're going to add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. Yes, this season and tonight, there's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay. Oh, and if you win, they get your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first risk-free bet up to $1,000. Bet on any game. Bet the game tonight. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. Seriously, no strings attached. Place any bet you want. You win, you keep the cash. You lose, you get it back up to $1,000 back in site credit. Here's what I'm going to do. We talked about the same game parlays. Here's a shot in the dark, but I like this. Miles Sanders, first touchdown. Won't come to the second quarter, but first touchdown, Miles Sanders, he will score first touchdown. Russell Wilson, over 28.5 yards rushing. And the Seahawks, adjusted line, plus 7.5. Put up $10, you win 222 back. Sanders, first touchdown. Russ, over 28.5 rushing. Seahawks, plus 7.5. No one else is going to have that same day parlay except you. You do it. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, I don't know what you're waiting for. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get started. Be sure to sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code Extra Points. All right, so that's a fun one. Monday, we have Tuesday football if all works out. If the Ravens make it to Pittsburgh, if Mo Damashek or any of the local Pittsburgh Inns will take this team. I hadn't even thought of that, Dave. It's true. What hotel is going to – maybe they sleep on the bus. I don't know how it goes. Speaking of bad wagers, I had a good amount of money on Steph Curry and Peyton Manning against Barkley and Mickelson. I lost my Thursday games. I bet on the Cowboys. I bet on the Lions. Then I bet this stupid golf matchup in which Curry and Manning and versus Barkley and Mickelson. Curry and Manning were the favorite. You had to bet like $2 to win a dollar. Dave, you advised me against it. You're like, the pro is going to be able to bail Charles Barkley, as bad as he is, out of any situation. He did do that. He also didn't shut up. He like really got in their heads. I watched the whole thing. He was really in their heads in his tutorial, and Steph Curry was sunk by the fourth hole. But here's what it was. And I read seven articles leading up to this bet, and none of them told me that Charles Barkley would be teeing off upwards of 100 yards closer than the other three. God damn it. If I had not, this is why they should not allow these bets. I'm the first one crying that they should legalize them, but this is exactly why they shouldn't have it. Barkley's teeing off. Forget about what they call the ladies' tee. He was from a two-year-old tee, 100 yards up, and it allowed him. So in a scramble, they took his tee shot sometimes. If he was teeing off with everyone else, they would never take his tee shot. It allowed Phil to get the approach shot. Anyway, it's too inside baseball here. I lost that bet because of this stupid closer thing. They have to get the rules clamped down on this.
I think the problem, Sal, is that when you bet something that's a gimmick, they can really do whatever they want.
Right.
You know, exactly. So like, it's not like football where you know that teams aren't going to, you know, one team isn't going to get to start in the end zone. Like, that's not, you know, you gotta have some rules and they just don't.
Another one, no rules. Well, there were rules, I guess, but and I stayed away from this because of the golf. I love Tyson over Roy Jones Jr. I love them. He won every round. He won at least 6 out of 8 rounds. He didn't lose 4 rounds, that's for sure. But the judges, who were former fighters, Vinny Pazienza being one of them, horrible, had Roy Jones winning. And they interviewed Tyson after the fight, and he's like, they're like, what do you think of this decision? He's like, I'm actually okay with it. I'm okay with the decision. I'm like, what? The old Mike Tyson would have been throwing chairs. Everyone would have been running for their lives. The ring girls. I don't know that I appreciate that he's matured as a human being, but I don't know if I like the kind Mike Tyson. It's like if my Aunt Chippy all of a sudden became like thoughtful and like, oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I want to hear it. Like, no, I want you screaming at people in the church parking lot. What's going on here?
Well, it's because he's a hippie now. He's burning tree with Snoop and all that. You know, he's lost his edge, Sal. Ugh. I was wondering, first of all, Jake Paul has thrown all this stuff. I mean, I was right about that Phil Mickelson's the actual pro, so that's going to cover it up. And Nate Robinson isn't a boxer, but he's done well in a couple other sports, so it should stand to reason that He should have made quick work out of a YouTube celebrity, and yet here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like burning tree before. When do you think, Sal? Like Mike Tyson was the most ferocious at the height of his powers.
Right.
Do you think now you could take him down? 2020 Mike Tyson against 2020 Sal. Could you take down Mike Tyson and in wrestling? I mean, if you MMA'd it with Tyson, could you beat him?
Yeah, I don't know what his skill set is, but yeah, it's not.
I mean, that's quite a thing.
Not in
isn't
an
it?
MMA, not in a full fight. Eventually, his fist would land on my chin once, and that would be it, or on my gut.
What if he's high?
Well,
Sal's great advantage, Charlotte, is here's the thing, because we've not, because of COVID, been able to hang out. Just plant this little, I want to plant a seed with you for the future. If you find yourself and, you know, the hour's getting late and you're in the wine number 5 or whatever and whatever, that's Sal's great advantage, you see. Mm-hmm. He pretends like you feel like, Sal, he's the life of the party too. And he's like, but he's clean, he's clear-headed. That's his edge.
Yep. I don't drink.
That's his edge over you, see? Yep.
I eat.
So you got to be careful with him. Now, same applies to Mike Tyson. He's burning tree before the fight. Now, how does that MMA match?
He apparently burned tree. He smoked marijuana before his fight against Jones, but still came out not with the ferocity that we remember from the late 80s and 90s, but he still won the fight. I just think it's probably not a good idea, from what I know from marijuana, to partake before a combat sport, right? Am I wrong? I mean, is this going to put you at your best?
I mean, you know, why not? It's Mike Tyson. Like, what else is Mike Tyson going to do before a fight? Like, at this point, you know, it seems like the only logical explanation for why. Like, it's like, why is Mike Tyson there? Oh, because he's high. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, it's something that Carolla advanced years ago. It's like when Ricky Williams was getting fined and suspended or everything. It's like, it's not a performance-enhancing drug. Shouldn't we celebrate him even more? Like, he's doing it despite the fact that he's high. Like, this should make you worse. And if you're still performing at a high level, I think he's worthy of even higher praise, if you will.
But yeah, and there's no evidence that Ricky Williams smoked before the games, right? So yeah, maybe he was clear-headed.
Oh, there are definitely some guys out there.
Is there? That thought he did.
Oh, there are definitely guys out there on the pro football field that are that have one thing or another running through them.
It doesn't seem to make sense. I don't know. When I wrestled in high school, I would drink Jolt. Do you remember Jolt? It might be before your time. Jolt.
I don't remember Jolt. All sugar.
I drink a Jolt and I'd listen to AC/DC and then I'd hit the mat. I mean, that seemed like I think that's the opposite of smoking pot, but. Good job by you, Tyce, if you can get it done. I'm excited to see him fight again. I really am. I'm not going to bet it. I would like to see him fight the Roy Joneses of the world. I'm trying to think of what other. Maybe he fights Jake Paul. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the answer.
They deserve each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep fighting all the Pauls in the family. That was a good one. Anyway, yes. I think I've learned my lesson. I'm saying this, but I think I'm done betting on the gimmicks. For God's sake.
I don't believe that, but I admire that.
100 yards closer. No, I swore off the hot dog eating contest when Joey Chestnut declared that he ate 10 hot dogs more than he did, according to ESPN, and they granted him that. They're like, okay, you say you ate 74 hot dogs instead of 64? Great, you ate 74,
yeah,
and I lost the bet as a result.
You can't do
it.
We need somebody like Jeff Schwartz who doesn't drink or take any drugs or anything. I think Jeff Schwartz, who's a moose of a human being already, needs to then burn tree and then do an eating competition. Because then, do they test for performance-enhancing drugs? Then burning tree does become advantageous in an eating competition with somebody who is predisposed to stuffing inhuman amounts of food down his maw. I'd like to see that. Another food.
Well, they test for the eating.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, that's why Kobayashi wouldn't participate in the. I don't know what kind. I think it's just steroids. Joel, do you know what they test for? I think it was just some kind of steroid
for
that they
eating competitions.
For eating competition, it wasn't marijuana.
Really?
I don't think. But yeah, that's why.
I'm sorry, but I think eating competitions are the grossest thing in the entire world. I do not.
Shame on you. Shame on you, right?
Sal,
take that back. Come
never.
on.
I'm with Charlotte. I'm not a remorseless eating machine. I eat for pleasure, and that's why if I were to participate, it's the same thing as like, why do poker at the high stakes, whatever $1 million poker tournaments, why are you allowed to wear sunglasses? Isn't that besides the point? Every movie I've ever seen about it is like, I can read you. Well, now you can't read me because I have sunglasses on. Isn't that the thing? I don't understand. Like, are you an eater or like you're dipping it in water? That's not anything that we can relate to.
It's stock a consumption car racing contest. Works.
That's NASCAR is popular because the cars look like cars we drive, so it's relatable to us, you see?
Right.
If you start dipping that wiener in water and then stuff like, what? And then the mush is coming out of your mouth and everything, blah, blah, blah. I don't relate to that at all. Well, my move, as I've long said, and I will champion whoever does this, you go there and you sit down, and just before you say, wait, before we begin, I eat for pleasure. I need a side of gravy fries and a chocolate shake to make this right. This would intimidate your foes. You would win before they even said go. You understand?
Right. I like it. It's like the poker brat. It's like Phil Hellmuth who shows up late to the table. And yes, he gets in the competitor's
one more.
Head.
Can I ask one more food question that came off of turkey? I was wondering about this. And this is I know this is a super hacky question, but I legitimately would love as a joke, but I would like it as a love to know the true answer to this. If you are in Turkey, the nation of Turkey, are you a hero if you eat turkey? If like turkey is your favorite food, are you a hero or are you being unpatriotic? Are you a traitor? Like you're eating turkey in Turkey?
I think
how dare you, sir? Which is the better?
If you're in Turkey, the Turkish word for turkey probably isn't the same word as the name of your country, so people probably don't think about it.
Yeah, well, but it's still turkey. It's still known as turkey. The whole country is named after the food. And so, like, are you, like I say, are you the greatest patriot? Because it's like, you know, this great Turkish patriot, the only meat that he eats is turkey.
Well, what came first? Do you think the name, you say that the food, which is actually a bird, came first and then the country. But do we know that for sure?
No, I don't know, Sal. That's why I'm asking
definitely,
you.
Definitely, no.
I do know very early on that they were considering making the turkey the national bird of the United States, and they went with the eagle.
That's right.
But because of that, they thought it would be unpatriotic, at least.
Oh, really? So if they named the turkey, it's like, well, okay, we can make it our national bird, but therefore we're not going to be eating our national bird.
I don't know that would be wrong. That's the reason, but that was one of that does come up in some history books, I believe. I do.
Yeah, because right, you'd be wrong if you ate an eagle.
Right.
If anybody ate an eagle, people would be outraged by it.
I don't care. I eat them anyway. I don't give a shit if people are outraged.
Do you really?
I do. Wow. Charlotte, I want to ask you, as we sign off here, and you could give your plugs and everything else, over under 2.5 oysters, how many did you eat?
We forgot.
Say under.
We forgot to get oysters.
Okay.
Under.
So I'm right. It is under.
Yeah.
Good. How did you forget? You gave us 20 minutes.
We looked at each other on Thursday, and we were like,
oysters are.
Yeah, no. On Thursday, we looked at each other, and we were like, did anybody get? Nope. Okay, well, we totally screwed that. But then I was like, look, this is actually okay this year because we need things to celebrate whenever we can. So let's have oysters on a day that's not Thanksgiving just for fun.
I see.
That's good.
All right, oysters for fun. I like that.
In terms of plugs, I wrote about why Derrick Henry should be MVP this week on the Fox Sports app. It is up right now. There's a new PSP out from last week, the Thanksgiving episode, and we're going to have a fun one this week where I'm going to pick what team I'm going to bandwagon in college basketball, and the recap's going to be out later. I turned the Broncos into a band and named some of the songs that they played, and follow me at The Wilder Things on
at The Wilder Things. Charlotte, you pointed as Sarah Fuller as the breakthrough athlete of the week. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a water break athlete. I know the word break is in there somewhere. Crown Royal water break athlete. How about as far as advancing women, Mina Kimes. You see what she did?
No.
Your friend Mina Kimes. I don't know her. I admire her. Major, major assist to our friend David Chang, who won $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire last night.
Oh, really?
She was the phone a friend. He used her offering, right? It was Benjamin Harrison, I think, was the answer for president, first president to take advantage of electricity in the White House. He won $1 million. He's a freaking maniac gambler. I've gambled with him in various casinos. He risked it. He was the first celebrity to win $1 million on it. Good job by you, David Chang.
Amazing. Yeah. Congrats, Mina.
Yeah, she was great. Watch it on YouTube. I think I tweeted it, but watch. There's a whole link and everything, and you could see it's a good, really A-plus TV moment. Dave, what do you got going on?
I have it DVR'd. I'm looking forward because your pal Kimmel,
yes,
spoiler alert, he's like, hey, this is a good time to start watching. Watching these. I'm like, come on, Jimmy.
You're not going to do that if someone wins $16,000, right?
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. Or somebody got off a good line. That's not what you're promoting there. But okay. What I'd say, watch that and don't watch The Undoing. I've been let down again.
Oh,
by
I don't want to hear it.
Show.
Please don't spoil. I watched the first episode and I like it right now.
I was so into it. I'm not going to say anything else about it, except you got other things to do in life.
Oh, really?
I know we're all shut in.
I don't know.
Get caught up quick, Sal, so we can talk about
this.
I'll
finish
by
Wednesday.
Once again, vexed.
I'll probably be done by, maybe not the next show. Shit. When's the next show? Wednesday? All right. Well,
it's one of those ones that once you
they're five.
Once it takes off, once it takes off, it's one of those ones you're like, oh, I got to see it. I got to get all the way through these. I don't know. I'll say nothing more about it.
Okay.
Except that there are better things to do with your time.
I like it right now.
Although as good as it 5 hours of good times, and then once again, like Lost and Game of Thrones.
I don't totally agree.
And I don't know
you.
How many other
I don't
shows.
Totally What's agree that? With you.
Let's talk this Friday because I'll finish by then and we will skip football altogether. Probably the whole slate will be canceled anyway. So this is what we'll be
probably true. But I will promote in the meantime. I don't think anything's going to get in the way of kickoff tonight, which means at halftime of tonight's game, you can join me, Jeff Schwartz, and Eddie Spaghetti for the -3 halftime show. We get in a good amount of conversation in those 10 minutes of halftime. So join us there on Twitter at -3pod.
It goes so fast. I will retweet and it's hard to catch if you're not aware of it, but yes, be aware of it. Watch these guys, listen to these guys. They'll have some tips for the second half of the game, how you can win money. I will be with the Against All Odds crew tomorrow. We'll go over week 13. They'll have best bets, all that kind of stuff. Hey, shout out to the Mook, who on our fantasy league set a weekly record with 214.75 points. I'm looking at this. He crushed the previous record, which was like 180 something. We don't do, it's not a PPR here. Rodgers, Gibson, Henry, Tyreek Hill. My God, even Tanyan last night, he went crazy. So good job by you, Mook. You win. Dave, I'm in the playoffs, so look the hell out. That's all I ever wanted to get there. I'm
you made it now? Collision course with me and the Mook unless someone gets in our way. This is
7-5. I'm getting in your way. I'm doing it.
All right. This is really shaping up to be a colossal final as long as no phony rears up and pulls the upset here.
I'm the
really
phony. I promise to be the phony. Charlotte's at the Wilder Things. Dave's at Damashek. I'm at the Cousin Sal. And just a reminder, even though you may feel like an underdog, please remember, you're all my favorites. See you Wednesday.